incredible. We had Mark let us off, and then Dusty, then myself, then Mark Shell, and then Cammie Cantu, and some great messages. I encourage you to go back and listen to them. And they're on podcasts or on our website, hfchurch.com. And as I've been praying over what the Lord would have me to bring today, He led me into doing a series that's going to take us to the end of the year of this year, and I've entitled it The Established Heart, Developing the Trust in God That Stands the Test of Time. And I just feel like the Holy Spirit in this hour is wanting His church, His sons and His daughters to get established, really established. And I don't care how long you've been sitting in church, how long you've attended church, how long you've been a Christian. There's things happening in our world right now that's shaking even the very elect. And so we need to have our hearts established in the Word of God. Amen?
Amen.
And so I encourage you to get into the Word. We're living in a day and hour where there's a lot of people that have entitled hearts. There's a lot of people that have, don't get me started on that one, okay? The entitled hearts. We're living in a time where people are having a lot of troubled hearts, which is understandable, all the things that are going on in our world. A lot of people that have fearful hearts. And Jada, I was telling her this the other day, and she said, honey, there's even people that have divided hearts. And I'm not talking the world. I'm talking people within the church that have these kind of hearts, entitled hearts, troubled hearts, fearful hearts, divided hearts. And it's understandable because everything that we're living in right now, but it's not God's best. Amen? Look at somebody and say, it's not God's best. God wants us to have an established heart. So before we get into this message today, here's a question I want you to write down if you're taking notes on the bulletin, or just get this in your mind, in your heart, and I want you to think about it. I want you to think about, Lord, what kind of heart do I have? Lord, what kind of heart do I have? Not what your spouse has, not what your children have or anybody else, but God, I really want to focus on my heart and what kind of heart do I have. And so we're going to start off in Psalms chapter 112, and this is in verses 1 through 10. And I'm going to encourage you, every Sunday of this teaching, I'm going to read these scriptures out of Psalms 112. And I'm going to give you a little homework, okay? Is every day I want you to read Psalms 112. Say, Pastor Mark. Say it. Say, Pastor Mark, I will read Psalms 112 every day. Okay. And I'm just going to give you this assignment until the end of the year. All right? You might think, and that's only 7 Sundays away. After this Sunday, there are 7 more Sundays. And so I encourage you to do this. And then I want you to meditate on it. My dad told me something right before church, and I'm going to use it. I told him I was going to use it and steal it from him. He said, Mark, have you ever thought about how we worship God with our mind just throughout the day? Well, how you worship God with your mind is by meditating on His Word. Amen? Yeah. And so I'm giving you a little homework. This is the passage of Scripture that I want you to meditate on. And Psalms 112, verses 1 through 10 says, praise the Lord, blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who delights greatly in His commandments. So that somebody, it's this person, this man or this woman is somebody that delights greatly in the Word of God. Verse 2 says, His descendants will be mighty on the earth. The generation of the upright will be blessed. Wealth and riches will be in His house, and His righteousness endures forever. Unto the upright there arises light in the darkness. He is gracious and full of compassion and righteous. A good man deals graciously and lends. He will guide his affairs with discretion. Surely he will never be shaken. Look at somebody and said, you're going to never be shaken. Okay, that's somebody with an established heart. The righteous will be in everlasting remembrance. He will not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is steadfast, trusting in the Lord. His heart is established. There it is. He will not be afraid until he sees his desire upon his enemies. He has dispersed abroad. He has given to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. His horn will be exalted with honor. The wicked will see it and be grieved. He will gnash his teeth and melt away. The desire of the wicked shall perish. So this whole Psalms is talking about a person that's righteous, a person that has right standing with God, a person that has their heart established in the Word of God. Okay? That's what Psalms 112 is. And I want you to read this over and over and over. Just 10 verses and get it in your spirit. All right, and get it in your heart. I know I just read it the first time to you probably. Some of you probably read it before. I've read it before. But this, man, I'm telling you what, I've been just reading this and just seeing how what a blessing it is to have an established heart in the Lord. And I'm telling you, here lately, I've had my world rocked, all right? I've had my, I can tell you story after story after story. And I know I'm looking at some of you in here that's had your world rocked and you feel shaken. And so I want you to hear the Father's heart this morning. He wants to establish your heart in Him. Amen. And our main scriptures that we're going to focus on throughout this teaching is verses 7 through 8 in Psalms 112, where it says, He will not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is steadfast, trusting in the Lord. His heart is established. He will not be afraid until he sees his desire upon his enemies. I think this whole pandemic that we've been through and we're still going through, and it's affected this church as well, this whole pandemic that we've been through, what it's doing is shaking people to the core, even good Christian people. And it's showing us where our hearts really are at. And we have got to have our hearts established in the Word of God. I cannot say that enough. And because I'm not a prophet of doom and gloom, guys, but I know what the Word says. As the world gets darker and darker, and it's going to get darker and darker, the church is going to get brighter and brighter and brighter. And it's because the church is getting their hearts established in the Word of God. In Hebrews 2, verse 1, I'm going to give us all a warning here this morning. You know, the Bible is, I love, you know, encouraging messages. I love hope-filled messages. I love, you know, but the Word also corrects us and disciplines us. Amen. Okay, and this is a warning in Hebrews 2, verse 1. It's a warning to pay attention. Look at somebody and say, you need to pay attention. And it says this, and I'm going to read this out in the NIV. It says, we must pay the most careful attention, therefore, to what we have heard, so that we do not drift away. Look at somebody and say, no drifting. All right. What you have heard, you got to pay careful attention to what you've heard that we don't drift away. How many of you have heard a message on Sunday morning, and then by Monday you're drifting? Yeah. You heard a word, God convicted you about something. There's no condemnation in God, but God's word convicts you about something that you're going through, and by Monday you're calling Pastor Mark saying help. Okay, I'm sorry I had to say that. But guys, I've done it too. And we've got to, when we hear something, then we've got to apply it and we've got to do it. Because what happens is, and I'm going to show you this in Mark chapter 4 about establishing our heart in the Word of God. As soon as you get a revelation, the enemy comes to steal it. I'm talking immediately is what the Bible says. Before the sun goes down, he's after you. And so with that, when you get a revelation, what you've got to do is you've got to start worshiping with your mind, meditating upon it, but then you've also got to start doing it and applying it in your life and not giving place to the enemy. And this is in Mark chapter 4, and this is verses 14 through 20, and this is where Jesus explains the parable of the sower. And he says, this is the, basically I'm going to paraphrase it, but Jesus is telling his disciples and he's telling us, this is the granddaddy of all parables. If you don't understand this one, you're not going to understand the rest of them, because this is talking about the Word. And it's talking about getting the Word sown into your hearts. And in Mark 4, verses 14 through 20 is where Jesus explains the parable. And he says, the sower sows the Word, and these are the ones by the wayside where the Word is sown. When they hear it, Satan comes, when? Immediately, and takes away the Word that was sown in their hearts. These likewise are the ones sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the Word, immediately they receive it with gladness, and they have no root in themselves. So we got to have a root. This is where you got to start establishing yourself in the Word of God. You hear it, you get all glad. Oh, God, Mark, Pastor Mark, that's a great message. That's a great message. Then you have no root, and by sundown, the Word's gone. And so you got to get planted in the house of the Lord. You got to get those roots going deep. And so endure only for a time. Afterward, when tribulation or persecution arises for the Word's sake, notice it has nothing to do about you. All right, it has to do with the word that you've received. It's why that persecution and tribulation comes. Immediately, they stumble. I want you to notice how that word immediately keeps coming up. As soon as you receive the word, immediately, something's going to happen. The enemy has something happen trying to steal that word. Verse 18 says, "Now these are the ones sown among thorns. They are the ones who hear the word, and the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desires for other things entering in choke the word." It's talking about people that are worldly. It chokes the word, and it becomes unfruitful. "But these are the ones sown on good ground." This is what we want to be, guys. "Those who hear the word, accept it, and bear fruit, some 30, some 60, and some 100-fold. I want us to be 100-fold Christians. Amen. I want us to have that kind of an established heart. Now, I'm going to give you some things here, just some things I felt like the Lord gave me and has been speaking to me too personally, but I believe it's for all of us, is some things that we have to do so we're going to start really paying attention to the Word of God and getting the Word in our hearts and establishing ourselves, all right? I had a wedding ceremony, for instance. I had a wedding ceremony last night that I did for a young couple in Elk City, and afterwards we were having the reception, and it was a beautiful wedding, and just a little small gathering at Carper Hart Manor, which is south of Elk City. And the stepdad of the young man that got married, he got up to give a speech. And he was over there with his phone looking over it. And I said, "What are you doing?" He said, "Well, they asked me to do a speech tonight." He goes, "Mark, I'm a little nervous." And he goes, "In fact, I ordered two books on how to do a wedding speech and for this moment." And he said, "I'm just nervous as all." I said, "Man, you're going to do awesome, you know." And I know this guy. And I said, "You're going to do great." And so he got up there and he started talking. And I was like, "Man, this is really good." And this is a guy that has been through, I know of that he's had one marriage that didn't make it. And now he's married again. But he said this wisdom to this young couple. He said, "You two are going to change." And he said, the only thing that, he goes, one of the cop-outs that we have in relationships is, well, he or she changed, so I'm going to leave. They changed on me. And here's the deal. I was thinking about it with this message today. God never changes. Amen. God never changes. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And then this is what he said to this couple. He said, "If you're going to weather the storms of life and weather the changes that you both are going to go through, you're going to have to be present in each other's lives all the time. Because as the moment one of you is not present in your life, they're going to change and go, 'Oh, they changed on me.' Well, yeah, they changed, but you was right there, but you weren't present with them during that change." And he said, "If you're present with each other," meaning you're paying attention to one another, that word paying attention to one another, you're present, then you can weather anything together. And I thought, man, that is so good for this word that I was bringing today, because, guys, we have got to have the Lord present in our lives every day. Every day. You need to get into the Word every day, even if it's one scripture. Here, I'm going to give you a way to do it. Turn the page. I had a pastor friend of mine is doing this with his congregation. And he said, I've hounded my people for years to get, we buy devotionals, we do all these things to get them in the Word of God, just one scripture a day, because you got to build up your spirit, man, to be established in the Word of God. And so he said, what we started doing in our church, I just told him, turn the page. And he says, every day, just read one page of the Bible. That's it. That's all I'm asking you to do, just read one page. But don't just read it and say, "I'm done." Read it and let the Holy Spirit speak through you and at least highlight some scriptures and write out to the side of it. And he said, what I've told them is when you do that, just one page a day, and then let the Lord speak to you through whatever you're reading there, highlight it, write out to what, you know, to the side, or you may want to have a journal with it. And he said, that is an awesome keepsake that you can give to your children and to your grandchildren later in life, of what God was speaking to you during that time of your life. And just turning one page a day, guys, just one page, and it'll do wonders for you in establishing your heart in God's Word. But there's some. I'm going to give you a few things here that I feel like the Lord gave to me, just some practical things that we need to do. And I'm not saying this applies to everybody here, but some of us need to, if it does, I want you to grab a hold of it and do it, all right? Some of us need to break up with busy. look at somebody and say, you need to have a breakup with busy. I'm talking just being busy for busy. I know there's some of you in here that work hard. You have businesses. I understand that. But then there's some things, and you got to say yes to those things. But there are some things in your life that you can say no to. All right? Breaking up with busy. I heard a pastor say this one time, and he said the acronym for busy is being under Satan's yoke. I'll never forget one time, and I've always remembered this story. It was when Taya was maybe 4 years old or whatever, and she came up to me one day, and I wasn't paying attention to her, and she was wanting me to love on her, basically is what it was happening, and I was telling her, I said, honey, she was like 4 years old, now the mouth of babes, right? I said, honey, daddy's working. She looked at me, she goes, daddy, you're not working, you're just busy. I was like, you know, heart, come here, hoady, hoady, daddy wants to hoady, you know. So we need to break up with busy. And busy, the acronym is being under Satan's yoke. And we need to get our spiritual, our soul, which is our mind, our will, and our emotions, and our physical tanks to overflowing. Most Christians, listen to me, guys, most Christians are overstimulated and underdeveloped by what this world that we're living in. We need to slow down. You know, there's something I noticed about Jesus, and we're going to read some stories here in a little bit about the Lord. He was never in a hurry, never got in a hurry. And some of us just need to slow down, hear God, and then do and apply what he tells us to do. If you're like me, sometimes I hear God and I'm like, let's go, you know, race horses, let's go. And God's saying, I didn't finish the sentence yet. I need you to slow down and listen. There's more to the story. Amen. We get one little revelation like, let's go. And God's saying, slow down. Slow down. I still haven't finished the story. I need you to write it down and make it plain. A lot of times we get that one little revelation and we're wanting to go. And God's saying, slow down. Hear God and then do and apply. Here's another one. Pray as much as you plan and pray more, because when you start doing that, you're going to learn how to pray more and work less. Amen. And then, as I read in Hebrews 2, verse 1, some of us are paying attention to the wrong thing or things, and we need to make the one thing, just like the story of Mary and Martha, you know. And Martha was busy doing all this stuff, and Jesus said, you know, Martha, Mary chose the one thing. All this other stuff, the dishes and all the, you know, the house, it'll take care of itself. You know, there's a time for that, but right now is the one thing. So some of us need to pay attention to the right thing. And then here's the deal. Throughout this teaching that we go through in these next 7 Sundays and today, you're going to get a revelation from the Lord. And when you get that, that revelation is an invitation for something to change in your life. And I want you to write that down. Revelation is an invitation for something to change. And everybody said, all right. So here's what the established heart does. I've only got one point in this message today, and here's number one. The main point, the established heart trusts in the Lord. And we can all, and I've done it before, guys, I've given this lip service, and like, I trust you, God, and then all of a sudden something happens, and I'm like, oh my gosh, God, where you at? Anybody ever done that? All right, so Proverbs 3, verses 5 through 6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. And that's a powerful scripture, guys. You need to memorize that one. Now I'm going to jump into some teachings by Jesus in Matthew chapter 24 and Luke chapter 21. And this is when Jesus is teaching his disciples about the last days. And I encourage you to read Matthew chapter 24 and Luke chapter 21. I'm just going to highlight a few scriptures out of this. But the disciples are asking, Lord, when's the end of the age going to come? What's going to happen? And it surprised me when I've read this before, but I was studying again. The very first thing that Jesus tells them is in verse 4 of Matthew 24. And Jesus answered and said to them, take heed that no one deceives you. And so for someone not to deceive you, you're going to have to be established in the Word of God. Amen? You got to be established in the Word of God to keep deception from creeping in. There's going to be a lot of, and the Bible even says, Jesus even said, even the very elect will be deceived. There's going to be all kinds of things happening. Jesus even said there's going to be people coming in my name doing signs, wonders, and miracles in my name. And you're going to have to be established in the Word of God to understand what's real and what's not. There's a lot of false things going to be happening in the last days. And then verse 6, he says, "And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you're not troubled." Okay, look at somebody and say, "Don't be troubled. For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet." And then in verse 26 of Luke chapter 21, talking about when Jesus was talking to people that didn't have their hearts established in the Word of God and in Him, it says, "Men's hearts failing them from fear and the expectation of those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken." And so, guys, it's imperative, it's important that we get established in the Word of God, all right? And then Jesus teaches us in Matthew chapter 7, this is when he's teaching about building on the rock. And he says, "Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And that rock is the solid foundation of God's word. And it says, and the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand, and the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall." Build your house on the rock, all right, on the Word of God, and get yourself established in the Word of God. I cannot say that enough this morning. In Acts chapter, we're going to look at a couple of people in Scripture. I want to look at the Apostle Paul and Jairus in Mark chapter 5. And some of you may be saying, "Well, you know, Pastor Mark, I'm not at the Apostle Paul." I understand that. I'm not either. There's only one Apostle Paul. But here's the deal. He was a man that got himself established in the Word of God. He went through all kinds of stuff, but he was established in the Word of God. And I'm going to show you what he was established in. In Acts chapter 20, verses 20 through 24, 22 through 24, this is what the Apostle Paul says. He says, "And see now I go bound in the Spirit to Jerusalem, not knowing the things that will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit testifies in every city." You know, we prayed for the persecuted church. The Apostle Paul was persecuted. I thank God that he was obedient, guys, because he was carrying 2/3 of the New Testament that we read today. That's the revelation that he had. And he was guarding it with his life. The enemy was attacking him on every side, trying to immediately steal that revelation that he had. Thank God he was obedient. Thank God he did the things that we're talking about today. And it says that he even says this, what the Holy Spirit told him, that chains and tribulation await me. How many of you would go somewhere when you knew there were chains and tribulations was waiting you? You know, God, sign me up. I'm ready to go. And I'm like, thank you, Apostle Paul. Verse 24 says, "But none of these things move me." And I want you to get that. "But none of these things move me, because this man was established in the Word of God. Nor do I count my life dear to myself, so that I may finish my race with joy in the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God." And I was like, wow, you know, how was he so settled in his heart that he would even go face death because his heart was so established in the Word of God? And this is where it's at, guys, in Romans 8, verses 31 through 39, talking about God's everlasting love. God's perfect love casts out fear. There's so many Christians today, guys, that I'm talking Christians that have been in church for 40 years, and they live under a spirit of fear because their heart hasn't been established in God's word. That's not God's best for any of us. God's perfect love casts out fear. The spirit of fear is not from God. Love, power, and a sound mind. When somebody's under a spirit of fear, they don't think right. They have no common sense. They have no rational thinking. And that's not of God. That's not an established person. You've got to be established in the Word of God. And how you get established is getting established in your relationship with God, and it's a relationship of love because God is love. In verse 31, this is the Apostle Paul, and he says, "What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Paul knew that, you know what, Jesus is making intercession for me. Verse 35 says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Apostle Paul had been through all those things. As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long, we are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Wow. That's what that was the revelation he had, the revelation of God's love for him, and that nothing's going to separate me from that love. I don't care what comes against me. Now we're going to go to Mark chapter 5, and I'm going to show you somebody else in the Word of God that had their heart established. And he was, just kind of get you in the who this man was, Jairus, however you want to say it, Jairus, Jerry. I'm going to call him Jairus. I think that's how you pronounce it. But he was a ruler of the synagogue. And in Jesus' day, he was a religious leader. And in Jesus' day, the religious leaders didn't like Jesus. And he wasn't, you know, accepted by them. They didn't think he was the Messiah and thought he was a false prophet and all these things. So Jairus was a ruler of the synagogue, and he put his life on the line and his job and everything he was because he's like, I believe this man. I believe he is the Messiah. And he made that choice, and he established his heart in that fact. All right, so before we read this, I want you to understand that's what's going on in Jairus' heart. He had said, I'm leaving this religious system that I'm in because I believe this man is the promised Messiah, and I'm going to put my faith and trust in him. Is everybody with me? All right, he's established his heart in that. And it says in verse 23, and I encourage you to go read 21 through 43, but I'm just going to pick out a few scriptures in here. And it says, and he begged him earnestly, saying, my little daughter lies at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her that she may be healed and she will live. And so his daughter is dying, and he's seeking Jesus out to come lay his hands on her so that she can be healed and live. And he's begging Jesus to do this. And as they go, when you read this story, as they go, they get interrupted on the way to his house by the woman with the issue of blood. And this woman with the issue of blood put a demand on Jesus, and Jesus stopped and ministered. Jesus is never in a hurry. Amen. And he ministers to everybody. He's not a respecter of persons. And even though he was a religious leader, and he stopped and he ministered to this woman and healed her. And this is what happened. And I just want you to think about Jairus. I'd have been, lady, he'll come back to you in a little bit. Mine's more urgent than yours, right? Have you ever done that with God? God, don't hear their prayer, hear mine. You know, hear mine. Mine's more urgent than theirs is. And it says this in verse 35. While he was still speaking, this is Jesus ministering to the woman with the issue of blood, some came from the ruler of the synagogue's house who said, your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further? And as soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, because it was negative, it's not a good thing to hear that, he said to the ruler of the synagogue, do not be afraid, only believe. Now, I want you, there's something else. When you read this story, Jairus, that's the only thing he ever said was up in verse 23. He kept his mouth shut. And I love what, there's one translation I looked up on that verse 36, and it said, this is what Jesus told Jairus, don't open your mouth, just keep believing. I'll take care of this. Some of us need to have the spirit of shut up come on us. Amen. I'm serious. I've had to do it. You know, Lord, let the spirit of shutty come upon me. Because sometimes I'll come to God and I'll come to my own private altar and I'll give him, you know, cast my cares upon him. I pray about something. I deliver it to him. I try to leave it in his hands. And then the very next moment, I open my mouth. And I pick it right back up. And so that's not an established heart, is what I'm trying to tell you. An established heart is not going to, if you can't speak the word of God, then keep your mouth shut. That's what I'm trying to say. So don't open your mouth, just keep believing, I'll take care of this. And what did Jesus do? He took care of it. And some of you in here have faced death, have went through death, and I'm here to tell you, do not be afraid, only believe. Because they're in your future. Amen. Jade and I have faced it with our little boy back in, and we just, November the 5th was when he went home to be with the Lord. And so that's why Jada made that post about our book, and we loved giving our book out to people to help minister to people. But here's the deal. I don't know how many times God has told me, Mark, don't be afraid, only believe. Don, don't be afraid, only believe. He's in your future. And there's some of you else in here that's lost loved ones. Don't be afraid, only believe. Guys, if God can remove that veil and just let us see what's awaiting us, I cannot wait. Jance, we're going to, man, Jance and Jaden. Jesus had the sons of thunder. That's Jance and Jaden up in heaven, and I can't wait for that day, guys. And that's what the Holy Spirit's telling us all today. I want you to keep your heart established. Don't drift away. Don't be afraid. Only believe. Now, I want to say something to all of us in here today, and because I really want you to get this revelation, and we're going to go through this for the next 7 Sundays and really dig deeper in that foundation. Luke chapter 6 talks about when it's also the parable where Jesus is telling the story about the person that built their house on the rock and the one that built their house on the sand. And in Luke chapter 6, I was going to read that today, but it says that the guy that built on the rock dug deep into the rock. And so it's not just building on the word. We want to dig deep into it so it gets really down inside of us. And I'm going to say this over all of us, and I'm saying it over myself too, because I know this is the heart of the Father this morning. And this is I wrote down this. It says, what grieves the Holy Spirit and the heart of the Father God is when his children are weak and feeble. He loves us. He'll care for us. He'll protect us. But a weak and feeble Christian is one that is ignorant of his covenant with, is ignorant of their covenant with God. And it's not pleasing to our Father God when his children do not know the things he has provided for them in Christ. Now, here's the deal. Some of us don't know because we've never been taught. Hence, that's why God called me to be a teacher. So I'm going to be teaching you guys these revelations to get your heart established in the Word of God so that when you go through things, you're going to know how to respond and how to react. And so here's the 7 major revelations that we're going to learn over the next 7 Sundays. We're going to learn the reality of redemption, what that really means. Some of you may think that you know. The redeemed of the Lord say so, all right? And you might be saying, Pastor Mark, these are all foundational things. Yes, they are, but we've got to have them established in our heart. Why do you believe the way that you believe? The reality of redemption, the reality of the new birth. And I'm not going to say that we're going to go in this exact order, but I'll just let the Lord lead on that. Then we're going to learn about the reality of being made the righteousness of God, that you have right standing. Yes, our righteousness is as filthy rags, but because of what Jesus did at the cross, you can go to the throne boldly now as a child of God. So the reality of being made the righteousness of God. Number 4, the reality of being God indwelt. That's where you have the Holy Spirit. We're going to talk about the baptism of the Holy Spirit on that one, what all that means, the reality of being God indwelt. Then the 5th thing we're going to look at is the reality of the authority in the name of Jesus. I wish every believer could cast out a demon and you would realize the authority that you have in the name of Jesus. That name is powerful. And then number 6 is the reality of the integrity of God's word. God can't lie. God doesn't lie. So the reality of the integrity of God's word. And then number 7 is the reality of the God kind of faith that resides in you. the same faith that created the heavens and the earth rests in you, God. And he wants to use you in that and grow your faith and build up in that. And so those are the seven revelations that we're going to look at over the next seven Sundays. And I want to end with this scripture today, Hebrews 12, verse 28. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. Guys, we live in a kingdom. The kingdom of God cannot be shaken. I don't care what happens on this planet. The kingdom of God cannot be shaken. And we've got to have our hearts established in that. So I want you guys, your homework is to meditate on Psalms 112. Meditation is worshiping with your mind. Meditate on Psalms 112 every day this week, okay? Till next Sunday. I want you to read it. Read it during your family, read it during your private devotionals, read it during your family devotionals, and get it in your spirit and start establishing yourself in the Word of God. And everybody said, amen. I want everyone to bow your heads in here this morning. And before we leave today, I want to make sure that everyone here knows Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And the Bible makes it very plain how to do that. In Romans chapter 10, it says, confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. And then it says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So I want to lead you in a prayer of salvation today. We do this every Sunday here at Harvest Fellowship Church. And this is just to help you confess and believe. And then it says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So even if you are saved and you know the Lord, I want you to repeat this prayer after me with them, okay? Say, Lord Jesus, I need you in my life. I believe you are the Son of God, and you died on the cross for me and rose again on the third day. Please forgive me of my sins and create a clean heart in me. Renew my spirit so I can hear your voice. I accept you as my Savior. You are my Lord. Thank you for saving me. And everybody said, amen, amen. I want everybody to stand up in here this morning. I'm going to speak a blessing over you, and we're going to go ahead and dismiss. But if you need private prayer, you know, prayer after service, please give Jade and I. We'd love to pray for you. Jade, will you come up here with me, and we're going to speak this blessing over everybody here today. Did everybody learn something today? All right, everybody getting your heart established in the Word of God? Amen. All right, everybody going to read Psalms 112? All right. Amen. Okay, I'm going to speak this blessing over everybody. And this is an extended version of Numbers 6, verses 24 through 26. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious unto you, and may the Lord give you his peace. May the Lord bless your going out and your coming in today. May the Lord anoint you to fulfill the divine destiny that God has given to you. May everything that is brought against you be crushed by the protection that God himself shall provide. May you be blessed in your health. May you be blessed in your relationships. May your children and your children's children be blessed because they are the heritage of the righteous. From this day forward, as you submit yourselves to the Christ of the cross, may your lives be filled with joy that is unspeakable and full of glory, and with peace that surpasses all understanding. May your home, as the Word of God says, be as the days of heaven on earth. In Jesus' name we pray and ask it. And everybody said, amen. Amen. God bless you guys. Have an awesome week. Hug somebody's neck and say, my heart is established.